This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And a very good afternoon to you, listeners, family, friends out there in this cold Cape Town. If you're listening outside of the Cape, enjoying the weather where you are. This is Terry, and my husband Calvin is not with me today, so I am the other half of the couple. The 100%, we're both 100%, right? But today I want to come in and just bring a conversation with you. Come and talk to me. WhatsApp us and SMS us on 37988 and WhatsApp us on 0817291657. 0817291657. We look forward to receiving your WhatsApp today. Talk to me today, and the message that we speak today is going to be touching the heart of the woman and the heart of the man, mostly from a woman's perspective. How do we prioritize our spouse, our relationship, our marriage, you know? This morning I was listening to Brad on the radio, and he was saying he had a call to action, and he said this morning, what is God doing right now? Maybe it's something for you to ponder on. So let's share the broadcast and invite your friends to join us as we speak today. I will speak to you from a woman's perspective, and I want you to help me today as we just come and listen intently, intentionally to what God has to say. Sometimes we look at couples only as a source, you know, for relationships to build the family and the community, but it starts with us as an individual first, one person at a time. And that is how God builds. You know, He builds families, He builds communities on marriages, on relationships. So wherever your marriage is, wherever your relationship is, woman of God out there, gather your, I know you probably had coffee with Coffee Date there early with my friend and colleague, and right now gather yourself and share this broadcast as we listen to Jeremy Camp singing The Answer.
From the Cape, for the Cape, and beyond. Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m.
And that was Jeremy Camp. Wow, Jesus has the answer. You know, I know that today when we're coming into this amazing topic and deep discussion that I will have and just share my heart with you as a woman of substance, as a woman married with children, being in ministry and working on a relationship, you know, marriage, it doesn't come 100% all fixed and here's a bundle, you can have a marriage, you know, you've got to work at it continually. And I can attest to this, and I'm sure Calvin can attest to this actually, and he will admit that as a man, sometimes they get tunnel vision. You know, men can get so focused on providing, building, and leading, but forget that one of their greatest responsibilities is loving their wives well. Husbands, if you're out there listening, and wives, if you're out there listening, get your husband to listen, and husband, get your wife to listen, because I think, you know, I know that this is for couples, for people, for woman and man, you know, and when we talk together. We cannot talk in isolation. It can't just be a woman conversation. So God didn't ask men, didn't ask any of us just to build a church and forget about your covenant. Come on, somebody. Covenant, your marriage is so important, no matter how you build, whether you're building your business or building your family, but your covenant as the unity in husband and wife, that is so important. And why God created that first is even more important, because a healthy marriage shouldn't hinder your calling. A healthy marriage should strengthen it. And I look at our calling, I look at where I am in my life, I look at where my congregation or where my other sisters are in Christ, other friends and colleagues and couples that we know about, you know, before your calling, before any of those things, before your calendar, God gave you each other. He gave you your wife, your husband, your partner, whatever relationship you're building to get into that space with God. So whether you've been married 5 or 50 years, whether you're ministry leaders, business owners, or even simply just busy parents, and you're trying to hold it together, this is a reminder for you today. And I'm speaking to listeners on the broadcast. I speak to myself as well, because, you know, in the busyness of life, love sometimes can take a back seat. But today I'm here to say to you, let's put love back in the driver's seat. Put it where it belongs, you know. So we can go back to the beginning and reflect on Jesus' image, how God wanted this to happen through unity. Because in 1 Genesis 1, 27 to verse 28, it reads that, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it.'" I think some people just take that out of context. They just want to fill the earth and subdue it. And there are people, men out there and women out there, that don't take the actual responsibility of taking care of the family. But this is how marriage is reflected in the image of God through relational unity. Just as God exists in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is why how marriage was created, to mirror the divinity, to mirror the union, the divine union of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on the earth. So marriage was God's idea because he designed it as a divine covenant. And that's a holy covenant, my friends. You remember the day that you stood in front of the altar, or even before, when you asked for your hand in marriage. Can you remember and just reflect and go back to that moment? Sometimes you look at your life as it is now and you say, "Oh my goodness, where did we go? What happened? What went wrong?" There's so many seasons have passed, you know, and we're in a new season now, but you can't recognize your marriage or your relationship because there might be such turmoil and division and destruction. And that's what the enemy wants to do, because he doesn't like the family covenant. He doesn't like relationships, especially Christian covenants, you know. So this is not just a social contract. It's not just a romantic arrangement. This is God's divine covenant. His foundation was to plan for humanity in this way. He was intentional, establishing your ministry before children, before business. God established marriage. Your relationship is more important. Firstly, it takes precedence to your ministry and everything else. So we live in a world, family, today. And this world rewards hustle and productivity. But heaven values relationships, right? So this is the thing. We are here today on Couples of Destiny, speaking about relationships. And the truth is, your ministry should never replace intimacy. There's an intimacy that we have with God and intimacy with our partners. So sometimes we think about how people serve. You know, there are people that serve in church very well. They're there when every minute the door opens. They serve 100%, and that's awesome. But you may answer every email, lead every meeting, or plan every event. But my dear friends, if your spouse feels unseen, unheard, or even unloved, then you're serving others while neglecting that very one that God asked you to cherish first. Think about it. When our emotional love tanks are full, and when our spouses gaze upon us intentionally, it makes us feel valued. It makes us feel seen. But if you don't reciprocate that, or if you don't do that, they will feel unheard, unseen, and unloved. And, you know, many times this is an open door that the enemy will use to bring in other kind of temptations, right? So I want you to think about this for the next few minutes before we go on to a song. It takes me back to a story of a couple that I knew, Carol and James. So they don't mind me sharing the story. It's a real story. They share their testimony. They were dynamic, gifted, and respected in the community. But slowly their home became more of a ministry office than a place of rest and connection. And Carol said, "I woke up one day and I realized I was everyone's encourager but his. So I was so busy pouring into the church that I forgot to pour into the one who shares my life." My friends, that hit me. Have you ever been there? Perhaps you in that place now, you say to yourself, "Oh my goodness, I've neglected, or I forgot to pour into the one that shares my life." So loving the world, leading a team, leaving your spouse emotionally hungry is something else. So the gentle truth today is your marriage is your first ministry. Before you preach a sermon, before you want to counsel a soul, ask yourself this question. Have I seen my spouse today? Not just with my eyes, but have I really seen my spouse with my heart? There are so many practical ways in which you can prioritize love intentionally this week. And I'm going to share a few of those nuggets with you at the end of this broadcast. But right now, I want you to think of the times that you have to use words. Use your words well, because this shows that you're thinking of each other and that you're still pursuing each other. That's one way you can either decide to get closer or pull apart. What you do or don't do will show your true feelings. So here's the thing. You've got to decide. Life is a choice. Everything is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. My colleague said in the previous show with her guest, he said, forgiveness is a choice. It's not easy, but it's possible. So use these nuggets. Use these small intentional habits. It's powerful things that it can shift atmospheres that will soften hearts and plant seeds of positive change. You can start today and see how God will show up when you do it consistently in your relationships, expecting nothing in return. Just do it as an act of love. My friends, I have so much that I want to share with you, because sometimes we take a few minutes. It doesn't have to be a full date, just intentional time. Spend that time together, even if you just sit together without doing anything. Well, we're going to go over to a song by Chris Tomlin, and it says, I will follow. Hi, family. So, yeah, this is Terry. I'm back again today. And don't forget to WhatsApp us on 081-729-1657. Joining the conversation, share your nuggets with us too. And here's the thing, you know, when we're talking about couples of destiny, doing love first, you know, this week, our emphasis is putting love first and rediscover how to prioritize your spouse, protect your connection, and fuel your marriage with unity, peace, and Holy Spirit wisdom. So I was speaking earlier about intentional time, you know, spending time together with your spouse. It doesn't have to be a full-on date, as I said earlier on. You know, you can just sit together at dinner without your cell phones, you know, put all your equipment aside, all your social media, whatever it is, be and focus on one another. Sitting on the couch together, just with, even after the kids have gone to bed, if you're the ones that are having an empty nest, obviously you don't need to wait for kids to go to bed. You can just do it when the moment and the opportunity arise. So the real connection daily can be a game changer. There are couples who goes on during the day without even connecting, without talking, without even a touch or a glance at each other, because, you know, it just seems like the things in the world are so demanding and it's pressing. It's like we're hard pressed on every side, you know, and it feels like there's no time for anything than to do a bit of exercise or to do a little deep breathing. You know, time just seems so full for some people. And I can understand when your work demands that, your ministry demands that, your congregation demands this, your family demands that, but you need to make space for each other. This has its rewards. I know that, because if you don't check in, there are important things that get ignored. So my friends, marriage takes work. You'll have to keep at it. You have to keep working for it. It's a constant work. You know, you don't can't just sit back and expect things to just happen. Oh, I want my spouse to change, but you forget you've also got to change. But here's the thing. Pray for one another and pray for each other. There's a power, there is such power in prayer, especially when you hold hands and lift your lives before God together. Ecclesiastes 4:12. I'm going to read from the Message version. I just like this translation this morning. I was reading it from there. It says, be yourself. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Isn't it powerful? And I mean, who of us need friends in our lives? And who can say your spouse or your partner is your best friend? Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. You know, this verse just highlights for us the vulnerability of being alone. There's no joy in being alone. Let me encourage you, family, friends out there, listeners, especially when there are challenging situations, and the strength and security found in having someone to rely on is so pivotal. It's an amazing opportunity for you to do things, because alone we can just give up so easily. But when we have a crowd around us, and better still, when you have your partner in your lane, it makes things so much easier and more loving and more glorious. The glory of God can shine through that, because know that your marriage is stronger when God is in the center. And every time you pray together, you're actually stomping on the devil's head. You know, there is more to marriage. And this is even more than marriage, is legacy. So life is not that long for some of us. Some people will say, oh, life is short. Yes, it can be short if you want to have it short, but life is beautiful. Live in the moment. Make every moment beautiful. So I was saying earlier, there are a few things you can do as a couple to draw together again as practical things, by scheduling time. Schedule us time. Protect it like holy ground. Then there's the amazing part, my favorite part, is the 15-minute huddle. You know, whether it's 15-minute, 50-second, 20-second, or it is. Oh, there's a true saying, you know, that 20-second hug releases oxytocin. And this oxytocin comes and it calms the nervous system. It also lowers stress and the tension in your body. So if you are feeling stressed and tightened and all uneasy, just go and hug your spouse. You, without having to say a word. Action speaks louder than words. You don't have to ask, what do you want? What do you expect? Is something wrong? No, just hug them. You know, this is the simplest way to rebuild connection. This is the simplest way also to have emotional safety. You feel emotionally safe. I feel that when my husband hugs me, it's like, oh, the whole world can crumble around me. That moment, it just releases something. It feels like a weight. Come on. It feels like a weight falling off of you. You know, and when he caresses my head or touches my face, it just feels like I'm so seen and needed, right? But this is a safety net. When you have those hugs, those intentional huddles, it's more than words. It speaks more than words, okay? So there are times that you have to use your words. I mean, and that also shows that you're thinking of each other and that you're still pursuing each other. One way or the other, you know, you can decide to get closer or you can pull apart. What you do or don't do will show your true feelings. My friends, I know this might be difficult for some of you to do. It might be that your relationship made it maybe at a point where there's no return. But you've got to start somewhere. And it will begin with you. Don't wait for your spouse to make the first move. If you want something or you feel you want to embrace something, you just do it without saying a word. You don't have to say anything at times. I know just last week it was Father's Day and I got home after service and my husband was ministering and I could see he was just a bit tired, and I got home and he was busy in the kitchen and I just went up behind him and I just gave him a hug, you know. I didn't want to say anything to him. I just wanted him to feel my love, you know. So these small intentional habits, it's powerful. It shifts atmospheres and it softens hearts that will plant seeds of positive change. You can start today and see how God will show up for you when you do this consistently in your relationship. Make space for each other. It has its rewards, all right? So why are we saying marriage before ministry? Come on, why do we say that? God did this because you cannot pour out what you haven't cultivated in your home. If marriage is neglected, your ministry becomes a performance. But when love is nurtured, ministry flows from that overflow. And that is a beautiful place to start, you know. Don't let anything be a performance or a shouting match on the pulpit or a screaming match over here and there. Don't neglect your marriage, because sometimes people can perform out of anger or they perform out of an empty emotional love tank. But know that your love needs to be nurtured. in the same way your spouse does. So, before ministry, why marriage before children? Because a healthy marriage, I know, creates a safe, stable environment for children to grow. Do you know that our children thrive when love between their parents are secure and evident? I love it. You know, when I see my children looking, and I will purposely just go and kiss my husband or hugging, because I want them to see that marriage is beautiful. You know, that's the soil, and the children are the fruit of that soil. So your marriage before children. Sometimes we do it the other way around, and I know everyone has their way of doing things, and if it works for you the other way, that's great. I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm just bringing the concept of what I believe God is showing us, and from research that has shown why God chooses marriage before business, marriage before children, and marriage before ministry. So he says marriage before business. My take on this is because your spouse is your life partner. He's not your business partner, nor is she. Although they might be both. But marriage provides an emotional and spiritual foundation that allows for wise decision-making, rest, accountability, and resilience when you're pursuing your purpose. That's so beautiful about having marriage in this way. So we're going to go on to God's purpose for marriage and how we can be real in this, you know, because it's not a performance. A healthy marriage preaches louder than any sermon. We're going to listen to Laura's story, and she's going to sing a song for us called You Came Running. Came running. Love that story. He will always come running after us, Laura's story. And so, yeah, we're back. And speaking about God's purpose for your marriage, you know, I'm just going to summarize that part from speaking about why all of these things are important. Why marriage before business? Why marriage before ministry and your children? Because God's purpose, I believe, and I know that he wants to reflect his image through unity. And how much more powerful would that unity looks through a couple, where his love, his divine purpose, his divine covenant is shining through. So he's providing companionship in that covenant love, right? So we need to establish a foundation for fruitfulness and dominion. And God has called man and woman together like that. You know, he wants us to stand next to each other and start and fight this good fight of faith together. Two is better than one, right? And also he wants us to be a witness of Christ's love for the church. And this is how, when a couple works up their differences and shares their heartfelt issues with one another and come to an agreement and bring peace and pray together, that is how God's love will shine through. And the church sees this. It's the epitome of God's love. When couples, marriages, relations, we look at the church of Christ, Jesus himself, he's the groom, we are the bride, and God is preparing us for the groom. And how much more is he not preparing couples in their marriages, in their relationships, for this holy covenant? When we proceed and support ministry, that's when family and work comes together. He created marriage for this purpose. Now let us be real. I know people are watching us. People are watching you. They might be looking at your life. Don't try and outperform or outnumber or outdo him or oversay or overpower him or her in your relationship, or say or belittle them, you know, or humiliate them in front of company. You know, there's always this, we listen to cues in couples to see how they protect one another. You know, your love speaks volumes, as does your actions. What you say and what you do speaks volumes. And your children are watching you. That means your children at home and your family in church, people in your workplace, in your community, they look at you. This kind of relationship and love brings healing. It speaks healing to even the broken heart. You know, I remember times when I was saddened and my heart was broken, and I'd look at couples. I used to sit in the bus driving home from school, And I used to look at people and see how happy they were. And I know I was a very sad young teenager because of my broken heart. But that spoke volumes to me. It brought healing and comfort to me. So it also models the kind of forgiveness that God has, you know, looking at how you and your spouse can forgive and forget. Many people say, oh, yeah, I can forgive, but I won't forget. You've got to forget because Jesus chooses to forget your sins. He says, I remove them as far as the east is from the west to remember your sins no more. So why do we want to not forget? When we forgive, we must forget. Love also shouts to the world, you know, this is what covenant looks like. This is what the beauty of God's love looks like. A happy family. You know, my husband always says, a happy wife, a happy life. But I always say a happy life, a happy wife is also a happy family. You know, so when others see you honoring one another and serving one another, laughing, forgiving, and they see you growing in Christ, this is where your marriage is a witness. You know, let it be your marriage or your relationship or you even be the change. You be the change agent today. God's looking for someone who will say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. Let me be first. You know, I always fight for an opportunity to be the first to apologize, to be the first to say, you know what, let me just make peace. You know, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. Just be someone who pursues peace. You know, there are so many people that are problem-focused. They focus and talk about the problem. They phone Auntie Susie, Ma, Grandma, Auntie, Sister, whenever, Aunt, and they talk about the problem all the time instead of finding a solution and just saying, you know, God, I'm going to ask you for a strategy. I'm going to ask you for a plan, and God will give it to you. You be the one that will go before the Lord and say, Lord, change me. Let God use your marriage as a witness. You be the one to say, love is worth the fight. My relationship, my marriage is worth the fight. Love is worth the time. You know, when we look at God and his love for us is more about how much time we will spend with him. How much time do we spend with God first? Because love is worth a first place in our lives. He is first because he is the Alpha and the Omega. So when you ask yourself these questions, when was the last time that you intentionally connected with your spouse? And maybe you ask yourself another question. Have I been more committed to my work, to my ministry, to my office, than to our intimacy? Or to our relationship? And you can also ask yourself, what small shifts can I make this week to put love first again? Put your own needs aside. Seek first to help your partner, each other first, before yourself. Sometimes it's just a matter of texting him to say, or her to say, I appreciate you. Or maybe it's canceling something to create space for them. And maybe it's just simply sitting together without any distractions, as I said earlier. Whatever it is, start right now. Start today. There's never a better time than the time there is now. Seize every moment. Because you know what? Satan wants you to stay quiet. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to be discouraged. Because if he can shut you up, he can keep you bound, but when you speak out the promises of God, speak it out loud over your marriage, speak it out over your home, speak it out over your children, and when you speak this over your mind, you're declaring who has the real authority. And you know, the enemy won't have any landing strip when you start and get up and start decreeing the word of God over yourself, over your family, over your marriage, of your ministry and of your workplace, wherever you go. So before the day gets loud, take a moment. Cover your husband in prayer. We know that not everything is perfect. But when you decide to fight, fight with faith, not with your feelings. I know that it's difficult for somebody, but you need to rise up with courage today. I implore you. I speak to you when you're sitting there on your bed. You're sitting on your couch, maybe feeling sorry for yourself because nobody's seeing you, nobody's hearing you. But God is calling you out today. He's saying, fight with faith. put those feelings aside. Because your feelings matter, but don't bury them alive. Speak to your spouse or write a letter to whoever is hurting you so that you can forgive. Because forgiveness is possible. God, with God, all things are possible. Proverbs 10:11, again from the Message, says, a good person's words are a fountain of life, but a wicked person's words hide a violent nature. Sometimes we have to just ask the Father, again, Lord, soften my heart toward my spouse, because our hearts need guiding too. You know, your heart needs to be protected. I remember when I first became a Christian, I heard about the Proverbs 31 woman. Oh, I thought to myself, this is so intimidating. How can I live up to this? I didn't realize back then that this woman was already on the inside of me. I just had to let God unleash it. I just had to let God help me discover her because I was striving to become someone else. I surrendered to become who God intended me to be. And that is yielding to transformation. I mean, this woman, Proverbs 31 verse 15, it says, she works with willing hands, but knows when to rest. She rises while it is night and provides food for her household. That is an amazing woman. She's a hard worker, but she's also spirit-led. Productivity doesn't define her. Obedience does. My friends, I don't know about you, but I'd prefer to be obedient. Let's listen to Stella as we go, and she's going to sing Set Our Hearts on You. And this is Couples of Destiny. We're coming to a close of this broadcast today, and I'm so excited because when I start speaking about the Proverbs woman, that would be for another day. But I love that song, Set Our Hearts on You. So if you're feeling stretched, tired, or distant from your partner, there's grace. There's grace for everything. God sees you, and He's the one that can restore. Today, choose again. Choose to love again. Choose to change. Be the change agent that God is looking for. Before your calling, before your congregation, before your work, before your ministry or your calendar, your partner, your spouse is first. Let us pray this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful gift of love and covenant. Thank you, Lord, that you're preparing the bride for the groom. Remind us, Lord, to cherish what you've entrusted to us in our spouse, Lord. Help us to slow down, tune in, and lead from a place of unity. Restore what's been lost, refresh what's grown weary, and reignite what still burns. Oh, Father God, let our marriages be testimonies of your faithful love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, that's all for today at Couples of Destiny, my friends and family. I'm Terry Honey, married to Calvin Honey. Our Victory Praise Chapel is our church. And, of course, Women of Substance is the ministry that God has called me to minister to the woman. So reminding you today to keep your love strong while leading others well. Until next time, remember, a healthy marriage is a powerful witness. Love is your first ministry. Stay rooted in love. And grace to you and your house here from Radio Cape Pulpit and Couples of Destiny. Until next week, let's listen to Zach Williams. There Was Jesus. Bye for now.
This insert was brought to you by Radio Cape Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.